Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior. And I join with the pastor in saying what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to see people. I don't like to preach to a lumber yard. I know there's some wedge heads maybe. No, I'm just. But really, it's so good to see all of you today. And I know you're glad to be in God's house. It's been several weeks, but you know, God has not changed. The book has not changed. The truth has not changed. Keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is coming soon. Well, I've used enough runway. Open it. By the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about this morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. As you're finding your place with me in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm so glad it's settled here on the earth in this wonderful, precious, timeless book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a book. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through verse number 4. And I'll read it after we pray. Would you join with me as we pray together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray sincerely, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory both now and forever and ever and forever. Bless thy word. Bless the preaching. We thank you for the music. Thank you for the pastor's leadership. Thank you for the precious lesson that was given us by Anna and by Tony, and we thank you for what you're doing through our children and our young people and our adults. Now speak to our hearts today. This is thy day, the Lord's day. You've ordained it for worship, and here we are. And we praise thy name and bless it forever. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving, amen. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Ladies and gentlemen, as we travel down our highways across the states and across the nation, we often see warning signs like this. We should give immediate attention to them. Railroad crossing, bridge out, dangerous intersection ahead. And so it is on the journey of life. We have many warning signs. My text is a classic example. I want you to listen as I read it again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, there are three phrases that I would recommend you underline in these verses of my text. The first one is found in verse 1. The things which we have heard. Underline that. The second is also in verse 1. Let them slip. And the third one is in verse 3. How shall we escape? Now, in my message, ladies and gentlemen, which I've entitled, The Danger of Slipping Away, I will ask, and by the help of the Lord, answer three very sobering, sombering, soul-searching questions. Are you ready? Question number one. What are some of the things we have heard? Ladies and gentlemen, we've heard there's a God in heaven who is creator and judge of the universe, who is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. And could I tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, he's in control of everything. He controls everything in heaven. He controls everything on earth. When everything else around us, government, education, economy, all the other things seem to be out of control, our God is in control. God is still on the throne. He will take care of his own. His promises are true. He will see you right through. For God is still on his throne. We have heard also that God has a son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who paid our sin debt when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords. I think we have heard something else. We have heard the blessed old story of redeeming grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, to grace the greater debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Where sin abounded, are you listening? Grace did much more abound. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Mark three words there, not of works. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot work your way to heaven. You don't work for a gift, and salvation is a free gift. You can work and work and work until you work your fingers to the bone, and all you'll have his bony fingers. John 3:16 tells it all. I call it the Bible in miniature, just 25 words, written in red. They come from the lips of the Savior and from the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have heard that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What scripture? Isaiah 53. We could go back in time. 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought us a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. We have heard that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, who said, I'm quoting Jesus now, would you listen? I love to quote Jesus. I don't have to tell you again, he's the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Please listen. We have heard that there's a place called hell for all the people who reject Jesus Christ. And I hasten to tell you, my friend, hell is hell. And hell is real. But thank God that's not all we heard. We've heard there's a place called heaven for all who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And heaven is heaven. And somebody asked me, well, preacher, how can it be with double marriages and divorces and deaths and remarriages? How can it be, preacher? It can be because it is heaven. It is heaven. Now, in my text, the Apostle Paul said we should give the more earnest, and that word simply means diligent, the more diligent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or that any time we should slip away from them. That brings me to question number two. What are some of the things we should not slip away from? Immediately, I would tell you, we should not slip away from the foundation upon which we're built. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say? And to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Let's go back in time again to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 28. And verse 16, and listen to what God says. Are you listening? This is what God said. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Now follow me, no less than 14 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as a stone. In the Old Testament, many times he's referred to as a stone. None more prominent than when Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. The wise men of Babylon couldn't do it. So they called Daniel in, the man of God, in whom was the Spirit of God. That makes a difference, folks. In him was the Spirit of God. And he said, and let me just paraphrase a little bit. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, now, you had a dream, and in that dream you saw this colossal statue standing up in front of you. It had a head of gold. It had arms of silver. It has thighs of brass. It had legs of iron. Now, let me tell you, O king, you are the head, the Babylonian Empire, from 626 to 536 B.C. Following you would be the Medo-Persian Empire, Cyrus and Darius, from 536 to 331 B.C. And after that will come the belly of brass and the thighs of brass, and that's the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great, 331 to 321 B.C. He died when he was 33, history tells us, weeping himself to death because there were no more worlds to conquer. And then the last and strongest of all of these things that you saw, O king, the legs of iron, the Roman Empire. But your dream didn't stop there, king. You kept looking until there came a little stone. Just a little stone. And that little stone rolled against that image and knocked it down and destroyed all of those kingdoms. And then that little stone became a great mountain and covered the earth. And that's the millennial reign of Christ. His 1,000-year reign of righteousness and peace and joy and happiness and all the rest. Well, somebody wrote, have you seen that stone that was hewn out the mountain? Have you seen that stone that came rolling through Babylon? Have you seen that stone that came tearing down the kingdoms of the world? Jesus Christ is that stone. Jesus Christ is that stone that was hewn out the mountain. Jesus Christ is that stone that came rolling through Babylon. Jesus Christ is that stone that came tearing down the kingdoms of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, you ought to have that stone that was hewn out the mountain. You ought to have that stone that came rolling through Babylon. You ought to have that stone that was hewn out the mountain, that came rolling through and tearing down the kingdoms of the world. You can have that stone that was hewn out the mountain. You can have that stone that came rolling through Babylon. You can have that stone that was hewn out the mountain, that came tearing down the kingdoms of the world. Only believe, and that stone is yours. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone. I see again as I look, you should not slip away from the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Those doctrines that were delivered once to the saints, as Jude put it in his verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Now, faith there means the complete system of our belief. The belief in the inspiration of the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Belief in the virgin birth of Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. The belief in the sacrificial death of Jesus upon the cross, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. The belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Out with those false theories that say he was swooned and came out of the tomb, never did die. The Bible says he died, he was buried, and on the morning of the third day, he rose again, shouting, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Contend for the belief in the visible return of our Lord. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You should not slip away from the one and only book that reveals God's plan for your life. It's called the Bible. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is the Jesus book. History is his story. And his signature appears on every page of the Bible. Open the Bible, find him there. Open the Bible, don't despair. Open the Bible, see his face. Open the Bible, trust his grace. Open the Bible, look clearly above. Open the Bible, share God's love. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible. Shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible. Let it be heard. Bring back the Bible. God's holy word. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Could I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we slip away from these things, we are in imminent danger of drowning in the sea of confusion and being buried in the graveyard of oblivion. We must not, I repeat, we must not slip from these things. That brings me to my third and final question. How shall we escape the consequences of slipping away? There's an inexorable law called the law of sowing and reaping. It is written plainly in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, from the pen of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And listen to what he wrote. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. Now, there are three little laws that you need to know about, and I think you already do, but let me remind you of them. Number one, you reap what you sow. Farmer does not sow wheat and reap corn. You're going to reap later than you sow. The farmer doesn't sow tonight and reap tomorrow. You're going to reap more than you sow. The farmer drops one kernel or grain of corn. Who's ever eaten any kernel on the cob? One grain of corn he drops in the soil. Then comes the rain and the sunshine and the time. And up comes a stalk from 3 to 5 ears of corn, with each ear having from 300 to 500 kernels or grains on it, reaping more than we sow. Now, have you answered the question yet? How shall we escape? Let me answer it. We will not escape. There is no escape. If you slip away from these basic truths, you must suffer the consequences, and there is no escape. If you neglect your duties and responsibilities as a Christian, there is no escape. You must pay the penalty. I hope you won't miss what I'm going to give you next. I had rather have no time than to have 1,000,000 years only to spend them unwisely. I'd rather have no money than to have $1,000,000 only to invest it foolishly. I'd rather have no mind than to have a brilliant mind only to use it for sinful purposes. I had rather have no hands than to have 2 hands only to use them destructively. I'd rather have no feet than to have 2 feet only to walk in a path of disobedience. I'd rather have no eyes than to have 2 eyes only to use them for lustful purposes. I'd rather have no ears than to have 2 ears only to use them as garbage receptacles. Garbage in and garbage out. No wonder some people have headaches all the time so much garbage they've let in. You're welcome. One day, are you listening? One day you must stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen carefully. To give an account of how you use your time, your talent, and your treasure. Paul puts it plainly in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all, that is, all Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I warn you, my unsaved friend, if you neglect God's free offer of salvation, you must pay the penalty. And the penalty is death. Eternal death. Dying and never dead in a lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. John said in the Revelation, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May I get personal? I know it's Sunday morning, and I know you're back to church for the first time, and you who are listening by live streaming, is that what it is? Yeah, live streaming. I want to ask you a personal question. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? I didn't say, is your name written here? And let me say it as kindly and compassionately and lovingly as I know how to say it. But multiplied millions of people will slide off of church pews into hell because they've never, oh, they're religious. They go to church. They even give to the offering, sing in the choir, listen to the preacher, pray the prayer, but never experience the new birth. And Jesus said, I want to quote Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, my friend, it is better for you never, listen, it's better for you never to have heard the gospel than to have heard it and not believed it. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, so many people are hearing the message. Now, listen, I want to quote a famous preacher, Adrian Rogers. Most of you know that name. He's with the Lord and a great fundamentalist. Longtime Southern Baptist preacher. Here's what he said. It's hard for me to believe this, but I'm telling you what he said. I didn't say this. I'm just quoting. He said, and he had a church in Memphis that had 6,000 or 7,000 people every week. You know what he said? 75% of the people who sit on a pew on Sunday morning have never been saved. I did not say that. A man with far greater credentials than I have said that. I'm speaking to someone right now. You slipped away. You may be in the congregation. You may be in your home. You slipped away. Can I tell you, you need to return, and you need to return now. Turn back to where you left him, and you will find him there. He's waiting by your bedside where you used to kneel in prayer. He's standing in the chapel by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place where the laborers are so few. You're older, wiser, broken. You're tired of self, 'tis true. So turn back to where you left him. He's waiting there for you. That's you, the conclusion of the whole matter. There's no time like the present time to turn back to the things that you've slipped away from. You know what God says about that? You don't take Raymond Barber's word. Listen to what God said. Malachi 3:7. You thought the only thing in Malachi was tithing, didn't you? Malachi 3:7. God said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Wow. What a word that is. He's waiting for you. He wants you to come back. There's no present time like this time to trust Christ as your Savior. The scripture says now. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Come now, let us reason together. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I feel compelled to tell you, my friend, that life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. Today, listen. All good and bad, today is your day. You're alive, you're breathing, it's your day. Tomorrow belongs to God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May we stand, please. Heads are bowed. Pastor's going to come and close the service.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, whether you're here in our auditorium in Fort Worth or whether you're watching on the internet, I want to ask you a personal question. Are you 100% sure that if you were to go into eternity today, that you would go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that you've been saved the Bible way? This was a strong Bible message on salvation. How many of you who are in our auditorium would say, Pastor, to be honest, if I were to die today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand with mine? I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Pastor, would you please pray for me? I wonder if there's anyone sitting in their living room or watching on their phone, and the message from God's man today has convicted your heart. You realize you're lost. You're going to die in your sin. Spend eternity separated from God unless something happens. Here's what you could do. Right where you're sitting, bow your head and close your eyes. Acknowledge your sin before the Lord. Confess that you believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again. Ask the Lord to forgive your sin, to come into your life, to be your personal Savior, and to take you to heaven when you die. Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Come into my life, save my soul, take me to heaven. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And right there, if you would pray and trust in Jesus Christ, God would save your soul. Have you prayed that prayer this morning? It's the greatest prayer a person could ever pray. And if you did, this is the greatest day of your life. And we would encourage you, if you've just prayed that prayer, pull out your phone right now. Text the word Christian to 31996. Text the word Christian to 31996. Let us know that you've been saved today. One of our loving counselors will reach out to you. They'll pray with you, rejoice with you, and give you some free resources to help you grow in your Christian life. I wonder how many Christians are listening to the message today, both in the auditorium and those who are watching online. and to say, to be honest, Pastor Gillett, there are some things that have slipped in my life. I've gotten away from some things I should have never gotten away from. I've gotten away from the Lord, and my heart has been convicted today. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I've gotten away from some things I should have never gotten away from, and I don't want to continue to let them slip. Friend, the good news is that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing God wants more today than to forgive your sin and to bring you back into fellowship with Him. Would you take just a moment and name it? Name the sin. Name the things that you've let slip. Call out and ask God for His forgiveness. And you have the assurance of His word that He'll bring you back. He'll bring you home, just like Dr. Barber was talking about. Father, we thank You for the powerful message that we've heard this morning, how You've used it both to comfort and convict. We pray that many who have watched the service this morning will be saved. We pray that many of Your people who have slipped away would come back into a close fellowship and intimacy with God. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.